I have this quote on my wall that says we have a strategic plan. It's called doing things. And this past week, though, it might as well have said, we kind of have a strategic plan. It's called doing a lot of things, but really the kids are going to throw all that out the window from time to time. It's Mike Vardy here, and we are back with another week of the Productivityist podcast. It is late on a Sunday evening, Mother's Day, and the plan was to record this on, like, Thursday. And the reason I'm recording this at this time of evening is because I finally have a chance to. It's been a crazy week, and I want to talk about it, actually. It's been a crazy 10 days. My wife, who is more amazing now than I even realized, went away on a trip, and it was an awesome trip. She had a great time, but it was the first time she's actually gone away for an extended period of time. I've done it plenty of times with the travel that I do for Productivityist, but she had never really done this before, and not since both kids were around. And so we're at a point where, luckily my children are old enough, at least one of them is, where I can get some help. So I had planned to take this week off, in terms of most coaching calls and anything that required any kind of, presence on my part in terms of being anywhere at a particular time. And for the most part that worked. And I wanted to go over the things that I did over the past, week and a bit that kind of allowed me to function, and get through the things that I needed to do and ultimately even do some of the things I really wanted to do. And most of the things that I wanted to do involved the two people that I was, you know, home with, which were my children. I'm not going to, insinuate or pretend that this is like what every single parent can do. By no stretch of the imagination is that even remotely what I would think, because 10 days in and I'm exhausted and ready for a beer and a bed. So I can only imagine what it would be like to do it consistently. So this isn't necessarily going to be a remedy for the single parent who is struggling to get and stay productive. It's more for the person who has something major that happens or some scheduling change that involves them having more responsibility, whether it's at home or at work, that will force them to make some significant shifts in their workflow. In this case, I am definitely going to be focusing on the home office / home husband father component, because that's where obviously I can speak to after this past experience. But you'll be able to take some of this stuff and apply it elsewhere. So first off, I want to talk about the kind of what I normally would go through in a week. And I've talked about my routines before. And for those of you who have been following my work for a while, theming is a big part of what I do. It's not just for the month, but I also have daily themes that kind of guide my week. So I have called it weekly theming, and it does follow in that kind of vein, because what happens is every week you can look at a Monday and know that this is the kind of activities you're going to focus on a Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. The nice thing about theming is that even in an instance where you are going to have some significant flux in what normally would be going on in home or at work, you can make those changes and still have kind of a waypoint to look at. Sort of those, I don't want to say breadcrumbs, more like little pebbles that you can use that say, will offer you some clues as to what you need to do next. So for example, my wife left on the 30th of April. So that was her last day in town. What I did was during this time off for my wife is I looked at the things that she did that I normally don't do, and added them to my task management application. Now, in this case, it's Todoist, but you could use any one you want. You could even use a Reminders app if you wanted to. And this is a case where maybe Reminders apps would be helpful because these are differences in your regular routine. So having a Reminder app go off at, say, 9 at night to say, hey, pack lunch for son, might have been the best thing to do because it's a different type of trigger. Now, because I check my task app regularly, Todoist had it there. And I did make sure I put a time on it, at least initially, because it wasn't part of my regular routine. So I'm not a big believer in you know, using time as a ruler, when you are making a shift or you're facing an unusual set of circumstances, or trying to make a change, having some kind of schedule management is really important, especially when you're dealing with children, because children need to be on a schedule. If they are on a schedule and they have routines, then things go much smoother. If they don't, then anarchy reigns, and then you have problems such as they're tired the next morning, they're cranky at night, things aren't getting done properly that they need to do. So you need to have routines established, and schedule management is key for that. I've talked about this when I talked about task management. You know, I mean, I think the kids are amazing task managers. Especially before they go into school. Once they get into school, we start to teach them more of the elements of time and how time plays a factor in the world. When you are dealing with two children and you're the only adult there who's had either a modicum of understanding of what time impacts you, or even in my case where I'm, you know, I lived and breathed this stuff, it was really key for me to make sure that I had schedule management going on for the things that I didn't normally handle. So things like packing lunches, things like, you know, even simple things like, you know, sweeping and mopping the floors, making sure that those were done regularly. I do those when I'm prompted, but normally it's an individual that prompts me to do those things. That individual wasn't there, and I didn't want to be doing any of the things like, hey, you know, Anne, I know you're at the Eiffel Tower right now, but could you tell me where the, you know, what I use to mop with, or that kind of, I wanted to make sure all that stuff was set up front. Yeah, that sounds really like, wow, you're useless and stuff like that. I know what to do with this stuff. And that's maybe not the best example, but the point is that I needed to have those triggers set up. And in some cases, those triggers are from my partner who says, hey, can you help me out with this? And can you help me with that? There are triggers I already have set up. And we've used this, we've talked about this when I have my daddy duty days. So the theming of the week, Wednesdays are daddy duty days and Saturdays are family days. Those days I don't require triggers. I don't need to know, okay, it's time to make dinner, because Wednesday, that's what I do. Same thing with Tuesday, because my wife works Tuesdays and I take care of dinner on Tuesdays. In some cases, we prepare it in advance, so it's not that big a deal for me to just pop it into the oven or whatever. But the point is that the triggers are already there. So I had to add external triggers. I would highly recommend using a task app for this. Don't use your calendar. The only thing I would do with a calendar is, again, make sure that you've got those appointments covered that your children might need, like picking up your children. That's kind of time specific. So you're going to need to do that. With my son, I had to do that. They did not go in my calendar. They went into my alarm. So I had an alarm go off and it would tell me when to go. I try to keep my calendar, as you all know, as free and clear as possible. And I didn't want to muddy it up too much. I didn't want to make that, because I knew that I had windows of opportunity to work on actual work stuff. So by adding those things to my calendar, I think it would have created a bit more anxiety for me. And I have to be honest, I was already facing a little bit more anxiety than I normally would. So again, I think the key here is to create those external triggers and make sure you do it, and don't trust that you'll remember. The other great thing about putting these in there is that it's actually allowing me to be more aware of the things that not only that she does that I haven't been doing or don't always do, but also I can have her back if she doesn't do it, or I can say, you know, I'll take care of that for you. So it gives me that future proofing, which I think is important no matter what you're doing. So whether you're dealing with, you know, let's say you have a situation at work, and I have a couple of friends of mine who occasionally need to be the manager or the supervisor of their you know, their office or their place of employment. Well, when they have those responsibilities, there's going to be extra things thrust upon them. Well, rather than just, you know, deal with them as they come every single time, you create a task in your task app, or you have a checklist, let's say in Evernote, that gives you a list of responsibilities, and then you just would, you know, click on that task app, you know, link, which a lot of them do. So you could go to, let's say, Todoist. You say, hey, I'm in charge this week, so review supervisory checklist. And then you just click on the link, and it takes you to the Evernote checklist that has all the things you would need to do as a supervisor. So there's little ways that you can do this so that when the next time it comes along, right, you are going to be able to actually handle it, you know, with a bit more effectiveness and probably more efficiency. Plus, I mean, you step up every single time. So if you are being asked, hey, don't forget to, no, I've got it. You know, whether it's your boss, your wife, whatever, or partner or whoever, you're going to be able to say that you have it. You've got it covered. And man, I have to say that by putting these things in my task app now, I know they're going to stay there. And in some cases, I'm not going to have to do them every single day or every single week. But by and large, I'm going to be more on top of them and at least more aware that they are happening around me, as opposed to, hey, I wonder how the floor gets swept every, you know, 3 days, or hey, I wonder how the garden gets watered every, you know, couple of days. So I did create those triggers, and I think that that's really, really important. One thing you can do that I did, again, the whole week, the whole 10 days that my wife was away, I kept my morning and evening routine solid. There were no changes to those. I woke up, and I did what I do every morning. And before I went to bed, I did the same thing. And again, being the night owl, that was an adjustment too. I'll get to that in a moment. But again, journal entry, all that stuff, the three absolutes. And again, because my children were in bed by 9, I was able to get a little bit of work done in the evening. But I also, and this is where I'll get to the night owl early riser thing, I also had to contend with the fact that there was no Mike sleeping in until 8:30. And when I say sleeping in, for me, it's not really sleeping in. It's just sleeping until. I had to be up earlier because I had to make sure that, you know, we were on the go and breakfast was happening and all that stuff. And so I had to make some adjustments there too. And that's a challenge. One of the tenets of the Way of the Productivity is Manifesto is don't fight your body clock. I had to make adjustments to my body clock for those 10 days. And so I made them, but I made them as minute as possible. I know a lot of people are tempted when they make a big shift in their workflow or something's going to happen. They're like, I'm going to get up early and tackle the world, or I'm going to, you know, stay up super late and make sure that happens. Nope, couldn't do it. You know, so I made some adjustments. I made sure I was in bed by no later than midnight. And I got up at 7. That was the majority of it. There were instances where actually I had to get up early one day because I was doing a guest spot on a podcast. So I was up earlier than usual on the Monday. There were some instances where I slept in a little bit, but I also made sure that I had everything ready the night before so I could just get up at 8 o'clock and, you know, breakfast was ready and everything was set up. I took care of that. And that was the other thing, is I think if you're going to make some slight adjustments and you know that, you know, all right, I know I'm going to have to get up a little bit earlier or stay up a bit later, what can I do to make that as successful as possible? So I would do things like have the loaf of bread next to the toaster with the spoon and the knife and the peanut butter and the plate sitting there. So I'd wake up and go, oh yeah, toast, right. Son wants toast. You know, I would know that. So I wouldn't have to, you know, go, where's the toast? Where's the, I mean, I'm not a good morning person. And yeah, it sounds kind of, well, why would you waste your time doing that? It's about that decision fatigue. It's the same reason why Merlin Mann would say, hey, put your bag in front of the door. So that way if the only way you can get out is by, you know, walking through your bag, so you're not going to forget it. This would be a life hack of sorts. I mean, if you want to, you know, conceivably call it that, you know, and there was a couple instances where I stayed up a little bit later, but I got up early, you know, I only got the 5 hours in, let's say. So let's say, I think one day I was up till 2 a.m. and I got up at 7. But it was a day that I did that on days where I knew my son was going to be in daycare. So I then would take a nap midday, which I haven't been able to do in a long time, but I had to do it because otherwise I wouldn't get the sleep I needed. So again, making those adjustments, making conscious choices and being both intentional and, you know, paying attention to all that's going on is going to be really helpful. And having a proper productivity approach, well, no matter what you're using, GTD, Agile, Kanban, whatever, just those kind of things will help you for situations like this, because by no means was this a walk in the park. And you know, again, to single mothers out there, first off, it's a belated Happy Mother's Day, but Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. But for those single mothers that are out there, I salute you. I mean, it's single parents, not just single mothers, but single parents. It's not an easy thing to be with your children all day, or the majority of the day. It's a challenge. It's fun. I had a blast. We did toy fair. We did comic book day. We played Lego. We read. We had fun. We sprayed each other with, it got really hot here, and we sprayed each other with water and stuff like that. It was great, but you know, it can't all be fun and games, and it can be draining. I learned a lot over the last 10 days. I learned, you know, that I do take my wife for granted from time to time. I'm probably not alone in that. You know, I learned that each of my kids, they were actually okay with, I mean, they're home with me most of the time, so it wasn't a huge departure for them. But I learned a lot about, you know, oh, hey, there needs to make it, I need to make some adjustments here. How can I do that in a way that will benefit all of us? How do I make a quick dinner adjustment because of what we had, you know, or we're being served at this book party? Oh, you're having pizza there? Okay, well, that means that we're not going to be either eating pizza the night before, or we're going to go out to dinner and you're going to skip pizza at the book party. Like, you make these slight, subtle adjustments because you've got all the other stuff taken care of. It's not, you know, it's not preoccupying your mind. Your mind is being used to make, you know, decisions and critical decisions, as opposed to trying to remember the thing that you probably shouldn't have to remember because you've set yourself up for it later. And there are going to be instances where you're going to have to make quick decisions, and it's better if you have more room for that quick decision to be made, because you have more room to move. Your brain will have a little bit more nimbleness because it's going to be sitting there going, okay, I can handle this. I have no problem with this because you've given me the space I need to make a good, concrete, solid decision on this, as opposed to, I don't know what to do because I'm so full. So good luck with with getting anything really quickly out of here, let alone quickly and an effective plan. So this is where I realized, you know, after all the 10 days, the big realization, of course, is my wife's amazing. She's phenomenal. She does so much for us. And this was a huge, you know, not eye opener, but it was a big one. I've learned a lot in that regard, but I've also learned that my productivity approach works. It's so well ingrained in me now that the theming of the days and using proper, you know, modes to work by and you know, focusing on those and letting the action items come up as kind of the third level of looking at my work, and then schedule management, you know, instead of looking at the calendar as the place where all that stuff belongs, figuring out the ways that I should be managing my schedule, whether it's according to, you know, priority, or whether it's according to like morning or evening, or even specific time of day. And again, the theming has a lot to do with schedule management as well. The approach works, and I trust it. And that's the thing. The thing that I now know is that whether it's work-related or life-related or home-related or family-related, I can trust the approach that I've built for myself, because it didn't let me down. Even when it was tested, even when it was to the point where, okay, here's a headache, a debilitating headache, and it's gonna plague you for 2 days. How are you going to make it through? What are you going to get done? Are you going to be able to get the things done you need to get done? Are you going to be effective? Yes. Maybe not as much, but yes, because I can make adjustments. I can take the other fork in the road. I can, you know, hit the highway if I want or head down the scenic route. So that's all I have for this week on the podcast. I really wanted to get this out there because not only maybe it's a love letter to my wife, I don't know, or love letter to parents who are, you know, dealing with children that, you know, I mean, and or people who are dealing with workflow changes and they're not quite sure how to manage it. I'm not saying that these are going to be the ideal solutions. And I'm not going to say that each of the themes match and all that stuff. But I know I've got some stuff out there that you'll be able to look at and read and you know, kind of glean from that as well as what I've said here. And hopefully that will help you with any of these, you know, life changes that can happen and help you get through them just a little bit better. Thanks again to everybody for listening. Thanks again to, of course, all of you Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. We have new supporters coming up consistently. Actually, we have a new one that joined us, Robert Judd. Big shout out to Robert for jumping on the Patreon support list this week. Again, if you like the podcast, I would love to get comments on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, wherever you're going to leave your ratings and reviews. That'll only help people find the podcast. Again, if you're a Patreon supporter, you do get the full extended version of the podcast. If you support at the $5 level or above, you get it in advance. So as soon as it's ready to go, normally on Fridays. If you are a supporter at the any level of support, you will get the Patreon feed on the day that it is actually, you know, released. So the Tuesday. So that's something to keep in mind. And you know, there's lots of perks there. So you just go to patreon.com/productivityist and you can lend your support there. If you're able to do anything monetarily, that would be great. Again, go to the blog productivityist.com and you can get all the fun stuff there. I just finished doing a newsletter series on why I've stopped using GTD, which was both refreshing and somewhat contentious for some people. There was a lot of people who were, you know, saying, hey, you know, I hear you about the leaving GTD behind, and others that were very much not wanting to hear it. So if you go to the blog, you'll actually see the series of newsletters. You can go to the newsletters and read it, and also subscribe to the newsletter because there's lots of cool exclusive and first-run content that you can get there. That's it for this week. Thanks again for listening, and keep moving things forward.